one of those topics that either you're interested in it and you're therefore very interested in it, or you are not interested at all and you'll be bored for the next 10 minutes. I got a shayla last week. Someone asked me, a woman has a conference in Hawaii, so she is now scheduled to fly to Hawaii on a Friday. And she wanted to know, what's the story with Shabbos in Hawaii? Do you keep Shabbos on Shabbos? Do you keep Shabbos on Friday? Is she allowed to be flying in on Friday to begin with? So for those who are familiar, this is a shaila about the international dateline in halacha. What is the concept of the international dateline? The basic idea is, you know that there's a three-hour difference between us and California, for example. You go a little bit further, and that difference would be longer and longer till you go all the way around the globe, and it would be a 24-hour difference, which would mean that if you were able to travel around the globe in a second, you would be 24 hours behind where you are right now. So how could it be that right here, right now, it's really yesterday also? And if I go around the globe the other way, right here, right now, it would be tomorrow also. So at some arbitrary point on the globe, they have to make, not arbitrary, at some point on the globe, they have to make a line where they say, you know what? Before this line is that day, and after this line, so there should be some place where, if it were on dry land, let's say, where you could say, okay, I'm here, it's Monday, I'm here, it's Tuesday, right? There has to be some place where they draw a date line. The problem is, there's never explicit in Shas, is there any discussion of the date line, even though the reality is machriach, that it has to exist, but in Shas, it's never discussed. In Rishonim, it might not even really be discussed. Maybe it's in Rishonim, it likely is discussed a little bit, but very little. But in Shas, it's never explicitly discussed. So this led to a lot of... So what does the world do? What does the Olam do? So in the late 1800s, someone in England decided that the dateline should be 180 degrees from Greenwich, England, because the people in England didn't want to have anything to do with having to deal with the dateline, so they picked the spot that was 180 degrees, the furthest spot from where they are. And that became the international dateline, that became the conventional international dateline. Hard to imagine that that's what halacha would recognize as dateline. Some guy in England in the 19th century gets to choose when we keep Shabbos in Hawaii or New Zealand or Australia. It's hard to imagine, or Japan. Hard to imagine that that would be the case. So this became an issue first in a significant way in the 20th century. The Mir Yeshiva, as many of you are aware, but really not just the Mir Yeshiva, others as well, ran away during the war, and they went to Shanghai. But on the way to Shanghai is not a problem. There's no suffix about the dateline Shanghai. But on the way, they stopped in Kobe, Japan. And Japan is a shaila. And they weren't sure what day to keep Shabbos. Should they keep Shabbos on what they consider Saturday in Kobe, Japan? Or should they keep Shabbos on... I forgot which way it is over there. But so they weren't sure what they'd keep Shabbos. They sent the Shaila to the Chazon Ish. They sent the Shaila to Rabbi Chiel Michel Tukachinsky. The Chazon Ish had one Shita. Rabbi Chiel Michel Tukachinsky had a different Shita. Essentially, it goes like this. Chazon Ish holds that there is a Gemara in Shas about this. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chafam Beis tells us that if Eidus HaChodesh doesn't arrive by noon, it's too late to declare that day as Rosh Chodesh. As long as they get there before noon, you could declare that day as Rosh Chodesh. The way the Baal HaMor understands that Gemara is that if Eidus HaChodesh arrives by noon and Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh before noon of that day in Yerushalayim, somewhere in the world you will have a full 24 hours of Rosh Chodesh, of everyone realizing that it's Rosh Chodesh. From that declaration, you still have, in Yerushalayim, they only have 6 more hours till the day's over, because it's at Chatzos Hayom. They only have 6 more hours of Rosh Chodesh. But there's somewhere in the world that will have a full 24 hours of Rosh Chodesh, which means the Gemara is assuming that 18 hours away from Yerushalayim is where the dateline hits, because that's why we draw the line at Chatzos Hayom in Yerushalayim. So the Chazon Ish therefore said, 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim is the international dateline. Now, the way the Chazon Ish sets it up, at 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, it would turn out that Hawaii is good, right? That the day that they call Saturday in Hawaii is, in fact, Shabbos. But it would turn out that New Zealand is bad. The day that they call Saturday in New Zealand is, in fact, not Shabbos. It would put you on the wrong side of the international dateline, so it would be extremely confusing. Now, what about Australia? So the Chaznish has another element to his Shita, and that is that he says it's not Mistaver, that, and not just not Mistaver, he thinks that Rishonim say this way, that the dateline can't go right through a landmass. It can't be that you could literally stand here and say, okay, it's Sunday, and stand here and say it's Monday. It can't go, can't be that it goes like right through, there's like the Chazanish's dateline goes right through like some street in Japan, where like on one side of the street is going to be Shabbos, and you just cross the street, and it's not, it can't be. You can't, you can avoid Shabbos entirely just by crossing the street at your right, at the right time, or you experience 2 days of Shabbos by crossing the other way. It can't be. So the Chazanish says that we follow the eastern coastline of any landmass, and that entire landmass is included in that eastern coastline. And therefore, Australia, even though the dateline, the Chazanish dateline goes right through Australia, he says, don't worry about that. Australia is still all considered one unit because it's one landmass, and the day they call Saturday is in fact Saturday in Australia. So again, according to the Chazanish, and it turns out though, Rav Schechter thought that that's true on the land, on the ground. Once you're in the air, he thought that that wouldn't apply anymore. So he thought that if you take off on the part of Australia that's only included in the dateline because of the continuation of the landmass, if you take off on a plane, the second the plane leaves the ground, you could fly into Shabbos. So it's quite a chiddush. What if you jump? I mean, it's quite a chiddush to assume the second it leaves the ground that's what would happen. But one second, the Rav Tukachinsky, however, has an entirely different approach. Rav Tukachinsky suggests, also based on the Gemara, this Gemara Sanhedrin of Lamed Zayin, really based on the pasuk, that Eretz Yisrael is the Tabur HaAretz. It's like the middle, the very focal point, the middle point of the entire world. Because the world is a globe, it's a circle, so conventionally we hold it a certain way, where north is north on the top and south is on the bottom. But really, you could hold it anyway and determine anything to be the middle point. And so he says the Gemara determines that Eretz Yisrael is the center point of the world. If that's the case, the dateline would be the exact opposite side of the globe of Eretz Yisrael. So it would be 180 degrees from Eretz Yisrael, because if we view that as the center, the dateline would be sort of at the end of the earth, the other side of the earth. So therefore, Tukachinsky said 180 degrees from Yerushalayim is the dateline. That would turn out to be pretty good for New Zealand. New Zealand, you have to realize, as is Japan, is an island, and therefore is not part of this landmass that would just be included. Japan is not a landmass that's included with Asia. It's an island off of Asia. New Zealand is not part of Australia. It's a landmass, an island that's off of Australia. So the way Rav Tukachinsky has it, it would turn out that New Zealand's Saturday would in fact be Saturday, but the way Rav Tukachinsky draws it, Hawaii is on the wrong side of the international dateline. So the day that we call Friday in Hawaii, according to Rav Tukachinsky, is really Shabbos. So that would be a problem, certainly for someone going to Hawaii. Now, on the one hand, you say, oh, the Chazanish is great because he lets you keep Shabbos in Hawaii the right day. Yeah, but it's not so great for New Zealand. Rav Tukachinsky is great. He lets you keep Shabbos on the right day in New Zealand. Not so great for Hawaii. There is a third Shita, which is almost difficult to believe, and that is the Shita of Rav Pesach Frank. Rav Pesach Frank says that there is no halachic dateline. What do you mean there's no halachic dateline? There's got to be a halachic dateline, otherwise, you know, today is every day of the week, because, you know, I keep going 24 hours. There's got to be a halachic dateline. So Rav Sivis Frank says, it depends on convention, what people assume. Meaning, everyone started in Eretz Yisrael, and some people traveled east, some people traveled west, and they kept Shabbos what they assumed, until they traveled so far east, and they realized that probably we traveled so far east, we're already west. And therefore, we must have crossed the dateline. So whatever communities observe, and therefore whatever convention has it as, that's what you keep as the dateline, which would mean that the international dateline, the secular international dateline, is the dateline. What's the major weakness in this argument? Is that what happens if you have something like happened in Samoa a couple of years ago? You know what happened in Samoa a couple of years ago? They decided they're changing which side of the dateline they're on. the country decided that we are no longer on the side of the dateline with the United States, where we used to do most of our business. We are now on the side of the dateline with China, because that's where we do most of our business now. So can you change Shabbos because the community decides, because when Shabbos is going to be hard to imagine. But anyway, that is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank Shita. So bottom line, halacha lemaisa, what do we do? So most of the poskim that I would ask, Rav Willig, I think Rav Shach felt this way as well, although I never spoke to him about it. And certainly Rabbi Heinemann is quoted by Rabbi David Heber in an article on the Star K website, say that the way to determine this halacha is that you should keep Shabbos for sure. It's Vaday Shabbos on the day that's two out of the three Shitos. I mean, on the day that two out of the three Shitos would say is Shabbos. So whatever the majority of these three Shitos, that's the day that's definitely Shabbos. The other day, the Das Yachid that you're trying to be Choshish for, you should avoid Melacha D'Oraisa. So it would turn out that in Hawaii, Saturday is Shabbos according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. In Hawaii, Saturday is Shabbos according to the Chazon Ish, but Friday is Shabbos according to Rav Tukhachinsky. So on Saturday, you keep it like a regular Shabbos davening, and you know, Kiddush and all the rest. On Friday, don't do Melacha D'Oraisa. It would turn out in New Zealand, it's the opposite, that New Zealand, Saturday, according to Rav Tukhachinsky, is Shabbos, and Saturday, according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, is Shabbos, but not according to the Chazon Ish. So again, you would keep the full Shabbos on the day that the majority approach, and observe the Oraisas on the other days. The problem with that approach is that very often people have a hard time knowing. You got to be like Rabbi Kiveger to know what's a Doraisa and what's a Darabana, you know, to know everything that you're doing, whether it's a Doraisa or a Darabana. Like, you got to be a pretty reasonable Talmud Chacham to know what to do on any given thing. And if you're a pretty reasonable Talmud Chacham, you're probably not going to Hawaii in the first place. So you have this issue. But this is what they recommend. Rabbi Willig even went a step further and said, if you're in Hawaii for Shabbos, make early Shabbos. And that way you'll say Kiddush on Friday afternoon. So just in case Friday is really Shabbos, it'll be Yotze Kiddush D'Oraisa then also, because you're making Kiddush Mibolad Yom on Friday afternoon when it's still Shabbos according to Rav Tukhachinsky. What? Yeah, but no, only not Melacha D'Oraisa. Again, we just try to avoid Melacha D'Oraisa. So what's included in Melacha D'Oraisa? I have a Talmud who once went to Hawaii soon after he got married. He went to Hawaii, and I told him this psak to avoid Melacha D'Oraisa on Friday, and he wasn't sure about sunscreen, whether sunscreen, applying sunscreen is a Melacha D'Oraisa, memareach. So he didn't put on sunscreen, and he spent the whole day outside. He got dangerously burnt, like scabbing kind of dangerously burnt. So if you have a spray sunscreen, you know, then you're for sure okay, it's a liquid or whatever. But you know, like if you only have the cream, say, yeah, you really need to know what's in Melacha D'Oraisa, what's not. So this woman wanted to know, can she fly into Hawaii on Friday? L'chadchila, probably best to avoid. But is it a Melacha D'Oraisa? Probably not. Is it a Melacha D'Oraisa to get from the airport to where she's staying, as long as she doesn't rent a car? It's probably not a Melacha D'Oraisa as long as she takes a taxi, but if you rent a car, every time you hit the gas, it's a Melacha D'Oraisa. So you really need to be on top of the situation to know what's a Melacha D'Oraisa or not. So what we normally recommend is try to avoid being in these places on days that are a suffix. Obviously, if there's a Jewish community in that place, they need to paskin something, and they're usually not asking the Shaila, but we should try to avoid being in these places on a day that's a suffix. If we can't help it and we're stuck in these places on a day that's a suffix. So, you know, in the Mir Yeshiva, there were some people that followed one way, some that followed the other way. Some people kept 2 days Yom Kippur, fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. Unbelievable. It was only for 1 year, because then they went to Shanghai and they were fine, dateline they were fine, but definitely the most recommended course of action is to try to avoid the shiloh to the best of our ability. Okay.